scripture passage is taken from Matthew 6. That is why I'm telling you not to worry about your life and what you are to eat, nor about your body and what you are to wear. Surely life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they are? And why worry about clothing? Think of the flowers growing in the fields. They never have to work or spin. Yet I assure you that not even Solomon in all his royal robes was clothed like one of these. So do not worry. Do not say, what are we to eat? What are we to drink? What are we to wear? It is the Gentiles who set their hearts on these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them all. Set your hearts on his kingdom first, and on God's saving justice, and all these other things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Every saint is a great person, and yet different saints have different characteristics, some of which will appeal to us, and they will become probably our favorite saints. And today we celebrate the feast day of an extraordinarily remarkable man, John of the Cross, 16th century Carmelite friar, and the virtual founder of the Discalced Carmelite Friars. He was encouraged and helped by the great Saint Teresa of Avila. And John was a wonderful poet, a wonderful mystic, and yet he had such a difficult life. Without going into the political reasons within the Carmelites, and they did produce this wonderful saint. He was imprisoned in Toledo, and the place of his confinement, its conditions were so appalling. And yet it was there he wrote some of his finest poetry. He escaped, and he did great work founding a college, which he was rector, prior at Granada. But then the sadness and the disappointment for him when his own branch of the Carmelites seemed to turn on him, and he was deprived of his offices and banished. The bare recital of the external events of John's life give no idea of the warmth of this wonderful mystic, so admired by his disciples and by Teresa, and yet also the victim of jealousy and power politics in a religious order during one of the most repressive periods of the Church's history. John was a man of very small stature. John, a poet and a mystic, is among the giants. What was rare about him was the combination of deep poetic sensitivity and how articulate he was with the rigorous thought training of Thomistic philosophy and theology. And he showed us that through a life of pure faith and love of God, the soul eventually attains the deepest mystical union. We might stand back and just admire John and feel that there is nothing so far above us as he that we can never imitate. And yet John was a practical man. If we said we had difficulty in prayer, John would understand that so well. But he might ask awkward questions. Are you faithful to your time of prayer? Are you faithful to spiritual reading, to the office, to the general supports for prayer? And if we hesitated and said, well, not exactly, John could use his caustic tongue to pour great scorn on our efforts. John teaches us the need for utter sincerity in prayer. John teaches us that we must just look at God with great faith. John is a great teacher of prayer for the deep mystic and for those who are stuttering and stumbling along, trying to find some articulation of prayer and some peace in the wonder of prayer. We thank God for this small man who is a giant. We thank God for the tremendous example of John. And we pray for his intercession in our efforts to pray.